Good morning and welcome back to our study of the life and times of Jesus Messiah here at Gainesville Bible Church. What a great study at this particular time of year. We're examining the biblical birth narrative of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Messiah, at a time when people all over the world are celebrating this monumental event, Christmas. As you've probably already noticed, much of the information attached to this historical event has been fancified or embellished by storytellers, songwriters, even church leaders over the years. But in our biblical study, if we adhere to the actual text of Scripture, we will find clarity and truth amidst all the clutter of man. Okay, let's continue in our study. Last week, we left the shepherds and their response to the good news of the birth of Jesus Messiah. And today, we move ahead 8 days to the dedication of Jesus by his parents, Mary and Joseph, in the temple in Jerusalem. But wait. What about the wise men? Don't they come and visit Jesus in the manger, in the barn? Nope. Oh, yes, Magi will come to worship Jesus, but much later, at least 2 years later, and they won't visit a 2-year-old lying in a manger. Now, we will investigate this further when we come to the visit of the Magi, which will come later. But first, we find Jesus in Jerusalem 41 days after his birth. Let's just jump into the text today. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 21. And when 8 days had passed before his circumcision, his name was then called Jesus, the name given him by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now, I'm not going to spend too much time here concerning circumcision, but I do want to make the point that circumcision was a physical sign prescribed by God for Abraham and his descendants to commemorate, or as a reminder, of the covenant God made with Abraham. A covenant whereby God made a solemn promise to Abraham to bless him and his descendants, and to bless the world through Abraham and his descendants. Jesus Messiah is actually the fulfillment of that covenant. Abraham and his descendants and the whole world would be and is blessed through Messiah, all part of God's plan and promise. Jesus' circumcision was a reminder of God's promise and his link to humanity. Jesus, God saves. His name will be called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Jesus was the name given by his father before conception. Who was his father? God. This name is significant. Jesus means what? Yahweh is salvation, or God saves. Verse 22, and when the days for their purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Under Mosaic law, a woman became ritually unclean when she gave birth to a child. The parents of a male child were to circumcise him on the 8th day after his birth. And the mother of a male offspring was unclean for 33 days following her son's circumcision. On the 40th day after her son's birth, the mother was to present a sin offering to the priest at the sanctuary to atone for her uncleanness. And normally this offering was to be a lamb, but if the woman was poor, she could bring 2 doves or 2 pigeons. In the case of a firstborn son, the parents were to present him to the Lord to acknowledge that their child belonged to the Lord. Many today remember the words of their father when he would declare, "Son, I brought you into this world and I can take you out." Well, that's not actually true. All human conception in life is a gift of God. He controls both the beginning and the end of every life. This custom of dedicating a child to the Lord actually continues to this day. It's an acknowledgement of this sovereign reality. If you're a parent today, I trust that you recognize that your child is a gift of God. And while you've been favored with the stewardship of your child's life, you know, your responsibility to teach, nurture, raise that child in the fear and admonition of the Lord, is because ultimately that child belongs to God. So the time has come for Joseph and Mary to present their baby Jesus to God. And this presentation was to be made to God's intermediary, the priest. Verse 23, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. This command is found in Exodus 13, Numbers 3. It was a command by God for Israel. Verse 24, and to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now, we notice that Mary and Joseph complied fully with these regulations. The mention of the offering of two birds indicates that Mary and Joseph could not afford the more expensive lamb sacrifice. And there was a man in Jerusalem, verse 25, whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now we know Christ is Greek for Messiah. So Simeon was a godly man who testified to Jesus' significance under divine inspiration. Simeon was righteous and devout. He was one of the believing remnant in Israel who was looking for Messiah's coming. The Spirit, who is the Comforter, was upon Simeon, who was waiting for the consolation of Israel. What is the consolation of Israel? Well, to console means to provide comfort, relief, to ease suffering or pain. Now, isn't that exactly what Messiah was to provide? Simeon was anticipating, he was eagerly waiting for Messiah. Many readers have assumed that Simeon was an old man, but the text just doesn't say that. Verse 27, and he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, so in these verses, we find the Holy Spirit led Simeon to be present in the temple courtyard when Mary and Joseph arrived to consecrate Jesus to God. Again, the presence of Jesus here again has become an occasion for joy and praise. Consistently, this has always been the response of the godly to Jesus. And Simeon said, verse 29, now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. So Simeon acknowledged that Messiah had come. He felt ready to die since God had fulfilled his promise. Now, Simeon correctly regarded God as his sovereign, and he was God's servant. And he equated the Messiah with God's salvation. He also viewed the salvation that Jesus would provide as being worldwide, not just for Israel. The salvation that Jesus would provide would be for Gentiles as well as Jews. Verse 33, and his father and mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him. Now, Mary and Joseph understood that Jesus was Messiah. Remember, they had the angelic messages, announcements. They'd seen the supernatural events. But their understanding, the deeper understanding of the character, the ministry, God's purpose for Messiah was beyond their comprehension. Actually, and so it is for us today. Even with biblical history, even with God's indwelling Spirit, there's still much we don't understand about the nature, the plan, and the purpose of Jesus. But here we find that God used his Spirit and a stranger to inform them of their son's significance. Verse 34, and Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed. And a sword will pierce even your own soul, to the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. So here Simeon prayed for God's blessing on Mary and Joseph. Now they need that blessing to rely on God continually throughout their responsibility of stewardship in raising Jesus. He revealed to Mary that Jesus would be responsible for bringing many people in Israel to the point of making a crucial moral decision. Some of them would reject him and fall spiritually, while others would accept him and rise spiritually. See, as Jesus personified the will and the purpose of God in his life, as he presented himself as the only remedy for sin, many would recognize and accept this sign from God, but many would oppose his attestation to God's perfect will. As a stone, Jesus would be a source of stumbling to some, but a means of reaching heaven for others. He would be the instrument of salvation for some, but he would also be condemnation for others. And Jesus would pay a price, suffering the antagonism of those who would reject him, and this rejection would hurt Mary. Verse 36, "And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years and had lived with her husband 7 years after their marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, serving night and day with fastings and prayers. At that very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Israel." Anna is the equivalent to the Hebrew Hannah, and she was a female prophetess. Remember, this is all before the cross. This is the Old Testament dispensation until Jesus comes and brings in the new dispensation. And so it says Anna was a prophetess. What is the difference between a prophet and a priest? A priest carries the needs and the concerns of the people, the prayers to God. The priest allows the people of God to speak to God. A prophetess is the inverse of that. The prophetess or the prophet takes the words of God and shares them with the people. And so here Anna was speaking to the people from God. And it seemed like her husband had died 7 years after their marriage, and she had remained a widow since then, so she's about 84 now. She was a widow who had devoted herself to the worship and service of God in the temple. And like Simeon, she was anticipating God's deliverance of Israel through Messiah. So in here Luke used Jerusalem figuratively for Israel. The redemption of Jerusalem, the redemption of Israel. So here God gives Anna insight into Jesus' identity. The godly in Jerusalem undoubtedly learned about Messiah's birth from Simeon and Anna. Verse 39, "When they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own city of Nazareth. The child continued to grow and become strong, increasing in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." Here, Luke again notes that Mary and Joseph's careful, they were very careful in their obedience to God's will and his will as he had revealed in the Mosaic Law. Luke also notes Jesus' normal development as a human being. He grew, and he was the object of God's grace. He would need God's help through his ministry. Verse 40 describes what happened to Jesus between his presentation in the temple and his return there when he was 12 years old. We don't have a lot of information about his childhood. This is the only inspired account God has given us of Jesus' activities as a boy. Many would seem, well, Jesus was precocious. No, he was more than precocious. Jesus knew who he was. He was Messiah, God's own son. He was God. Now, we said earlier that much of the information attached to this historical event has been fancified or embellished by storytellers, songwriters, church leaders over the years. We also said that if we adhere to the actual text of Scripture, then we find clarity and truth amidst all the clutter of man. The question arises, but do these minor details really matter? My answer to that is, they matter only if you desire the truth.